relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
Portions of America First are brought to you in part by the International Fellowship for Christians and Jews.
Hey, it's Jim Hansen. We are back. I'm sitting in for Dr. G, who is, I think he's coming back from Cali. I feel like that should be, wasn't there Escape from L.A.? That was after Escape from New York. It's the same thing. Anytime you can get California in your rear view, until we take it back, you have to. Let's talk about some important stuff here with Julie Kelly, who is one of the great Americans who has taken it upon herself to cover the abuses of power by the deep state, by the left, by the Biden administration and the DOJ. And Julie, I hate to have a slightly positive attitude, but we got good news on Friday in that insane entrapment scheme that they did with the Governor Whitmer, you know, attempt non-kidnapping. Tell us about what happened.
Jim, I say often that if you had the greatest fiction writer in the world, you could not have this person author a crazier story about what happened. The various characters, including just low-life FBI agents and informants, who entrapped these several kind of sad misfits in a way, and other innocent men, lured them into this plot so they could produce the FBI once again interfere in a presidential election, produce all sorts of negative headlines for Donald Trump, as millions of Americans were voting for president in October of 2020.
It kind of seems like they wanted some negative headlines and they wanted to presage this. Now, let me just point out, I'm from Green Bay, Wisconsin. All right. I have been in bars where you've got a collection of northern rednecks, you know, and you're all drinking old style draft 7 ounce beers for 50 cents. Right. And you start talking crazy stuff. It seems to me from everything I read that this was a couple of these guys that the FBI found who said at least one crazy thing. And then the FBI is like, we can work with that. Is that basically what they had did?
Yes, that is essentially exactly what they did. And what they did was leverage the anger in Michigan about protracted lockdowns, and then also anger about the 2020 riots. And so you had FBI informants and undercover agents who got these guys together. They didn't know each other before the FBI got involved, and the main informant sort of stitched this group together off of Facebook posts, et cetera. Put them together, we'd get them stoned, they would get them all riled up talking about lockdowns and about the George Floyd riots, and the FBI informants were recording every conversation. So, for example, a defense attorney said during the closing arguments a few weeks ago, you would have a seven-hour meeting or barbecue or field training, and the FBI would take an 18-second clip of one of the defendants, but they couldn't hear what the FBI agents or informants are saying to get everybody riled up. So, yes, that is, you know, and it's sort of the same tactics we're seeing in a lot of the January 6th cases as well.
But the good news on Friday was the good people. And remember, one of the greatest things about America is you are guaranteed a trial by a jury of your peers, not a jury of FBI informants, not a jury of deep state bureaucrats, not a jury of left wing lunatics, unless that is your peers. But these guys got acquitted and some just got their cases thrown by a jury of their peers in Michigan. And that's what we all should have wanted, right?
It's really pretty stunning. And, you know, I think about this over and over. Think about this, Jim. You have, now I'm a Midwesterner also. I'm in suburban Chicago. So this Grand Rapids is about, you know, 2.5 hours away from me. That's where the trial was. But you had numerous FBI officials, agents, undercover agents, experts, the informant, testifying for the government, explaining this plot in detail. You had two of the defendants who earlier pleaded guilty who took the witness stand for the government against their alleged co-conspirators. The government had everything on its side. The judge, who really did an excellent job otherwise, sided with the government on nearly every request, including suppressing evidence that if they would have shown the jury, would have shown amazing story about the FBI entrapment. They didn't even get all the evidence, Jim. And the judge also denied the defense several witnesses who could have explained what happened. All of that against working against these four defendants, and the jury still came back, acquitted two of them outright. The other two, they came to a hung jury. Amazingly, DOJ looks like they're going to try to prosecute these two men again. They have no evidence against them, just to save face. But I just want to give kudos to those jurors, 12 jurors in Western Michigan, who did the right thing, who saw right through this entrapment scheme. And hopefully now we are going to hold people accountable at this DOJ and FBI, not just for what they did to these defendants, these innocent men, but for how they again interfered in a presidential election, sabotaged Donald Trump.
Now, we don't need to change the chief executive to do that. We just need to get control of the committees in the House and the Senate, and then we can actually hold oversight hearings, which is the job of that parliament of hooers down the road in the Capitol. So can we expect that? Is that something the Republicans might have the guts to do, to actually hold, you know, some of these people and shine a light on them?
I have heard from a few House members over the weekend. House Judiciary Committee tweeted one of my articles about the Whitmer verdict and said that they were going to, you know, hold these people accountable. Ted Cruz, and I'm not bragging, he just tweeted another one of my articles about this being election interference and said, you know, we need transparency, we need the truth. So let's hope, Jim, but look, they need to lay down the hammer. They win the House. Pull budget. Right? Cut off the funding for this abusive, vengeful January 6th investigation. Cut off funding for the FBI. Hull, Christopher Wray, and every single head of the 56 FBI field offices get before the public under sworn testimony, and they explain their role in not just the Whitmer kidnapping, but how they are conducting pre-dawn raids at the homes of Americans with armed agents and SWAT vehicles to arrest people on trespassing charges. So there is a lot. This is, in my view, an irredeemably corrupt agency. But the Republicans have a responsibility, not just to a political party or Donald Trump, but to this country. The top law enforcement agency in the country cannot operate this way, period.
Until, and I'm talking to you, Kevin McCarthy, somebody in the Republican leadership has a spine and decides to do this. Now, you hit on the thing they can do. They can put language in the appropriations bills that says you can do this, you can't do that. You think there's any chance they will?
I hope so. I just think there's so many scandals building with the FBI, and the base is so infuriated about the lack of accountability that even if Republicans like Kevin McCarthy want to keep ignoring it, they won't be able to. Jim, Biden's DOJ is asking for $10 billion for this FBI to do what? Continue to turn its awesome powers against American citizens? $10 billion just for the FBI. The DOJ is asking for an additional $35 million to hire 130 more prosecutors just so they continue the January 6th investigation, a four-hour disturbance that was 15 months ago, where the only people who died were Trump supporters.
Okay, now that I want to talk with you about. So we have to go ahead and take a break here and do the business of Salem Radio and the America First radio show. But I will be right back with more from Julie Kelly, who is doing the good work and telling the truth about government abuse of power. I'm Jim Hansen. We'll be back after the break.
Did you know that the FTC reported a whopping 45% increase in fraud and identity theft claims in 2020? Our increasingly digital lives and massive shift to remote work has created easy targets for scammers and cyber hackers. You may have security systems in place for real life, but what about your online life? Identity Guard can sound the alarm if your digital presence is at risk. Identity Guard specialists have resolved thousands of identity theft cases in their 25-year history, and their concierge-level U.S.-based customer support helps you successfully navigate the uncertainty identity theft events can cause. If a threat is found, you'll get alerted fast, like if your online accounts or passwords were leaked, or if someone tries to open a bank account in your name. For a limited time, Identity Guard is offering our listeners a 30-day free trial when you visit identityguard.com/Gorka. Go now, identityguard.com/Gorka, to get complete protection, huge savings, and a 30-day free trial. Certain terms apply. See site for details. Go today, identityguard.com/Gorka.
Portions of America First are brought to you in part by Stand With Israel Tour.
Hey, it's Jim Hansen back doing America First Radio, sitting in for Dr. G and continuing our conversation with my favorite journalist. I think she actually is my favorite journalist, Julie Kelly, America Greatness, who has been covering. We talked about the Whitmer trial and the good news that the good people of Michigan saw through that garbage case. Let's talk about some more garbage cases of the invented insurrection January 6th. Now, I saw what looked like another little glimmer of hope when there was an acquittal in that. Tell us the specifics and why that is or is not the good news it might be.
Matthew Martin was arrested and charged in April of 2021 on four common misdemeanors. These are the most charged misdemeanors related to January 6th.
Jaywalking, littering, more or less.
Not even something as serious as littering. I mean, you know, these are people who, you know, took selfies and marveled at how beautiful the Capitol building is and thanked Capitol Police and walked out. Nonetheless, their lives are being destroyed. So he faced these four common misdemeanors. He was fired from his job, like so many Americans who also have been charged with these misdemeanors. Nonetheless, he fought the charges. He did not take a plea deal like more than 150 Americans have done so far with these misdemeanor counts. He asked for a bench trial. He got Judge Trevor McFadden, a Trump appointee, who only deserves a little bit of credit for what he did here because he has been playing along with DOJ for over a year, detaining people, awaiting trials. So, but we'll give him a little half of the cheer here.
Yay!
Yes, he acquitted Matthew Martin on the four misdemeanor counts. Matthew Martin took the stand in his defense, said that he was waved in by Capitol Police. But, Jim, the most important aspect of this trial is that you had a U.S. Capitol Police official for the very first time testify under oath that, yes, we did stand by and let people into the building. This official claimed that they were so overwhelmed they couldn't stop people from coming in. So what they were doing was standing there making sure no one got hurt. This is very compelling because the idea that this building was shut off to the public, that police were overwhelmed and they were being beaten with flagpoles and attacked with bear spray as people were storming the Capitol. Of course, we know from witness accounts, we know from lots of video that's not the case, but we now have sworn testimony. Capitol Police did let people into the building, and that will impact other cases.
So can we expect more pleas? Because we were talking during the break, and I said it's easy for me to say that a lot of these guys shouldn't have been, you know, giving plea bargains and agreements to these charges. They should have had the guts to fight them. Yeah, well, I'm not in prison. I'm not in D.C. prison, especially facing, you know, federal time. But is it possible that this could start a wave of this going our direction?
I hope so. I do feel like the defendants, to those who have not taken plea deals and are awaiting trial, God bless them, because they have everything rigged against them, from these judges to the prosecutors to the media. You know, they are pariahs in their own community. Of course, we've talked about the tragic case of Matthew Perna. 37-year-old man who was tormented by this DOJ, called a traitor, an insurrectionist, a seditionist, a terrorist by everyone from Joe Biden down to his local newspaper. Couldn't take it anymore, hanged himself in his garage on February 25th after he found out this DOJ was going to ask for years in prison for the very same charges of Matthew Martin. And so this is what these people are being subjected to, but I'm sensing a little bit, they're feeling a little bit more hopeful. And of course, the narrative is shedding. And this is just one more way, one more example of how the narrative is falling apart. That police did let these people, and they did not realize they were committing any crime. They were not warned not to come into the building. So we'll see long-term how this affects other plea deals or trials.
Well, let's hope it goes in the right direction, because I think this has been one of the most painful things for me to watch. I was saddened on January 6th because I knew that this was coming, you know, and that the left would use this against our side. And that, to me, you know, was you've got protected political speech that gets out of control and wasn't planned. And the painful thing was, it was after a year of planned riots that were designed to scare people and change opinions. And unfortunately, I think this was sadly something we were going to be subjected to. Julie, keep doing this, please. You are one of the best we've got, and you have shed so much light on so many of these bad issues. Julie Kelly, she's a senior contributor at America Greatness and a great American. Thanks for being with us. And after the break, we will be back. We'll talk a little bit more. I'm going to do my rant on the abuse of power and why it is such a danger to our country. This is Jim Hansen sitting in for Dr. G doing America First Radio.
Mike Lindell has a true passion to help everyone get the best sleep of their lives. Therefore, he created the Giza Dream bed sheets. They look and feel incredible, which translates to an even better night's sleep for you. Mike's latest amazing deal is the sale of the year. For a limited time, you will receive 60% off the Giza Dream sheets that come with a 60-day money-back guarantee and a 10-year warranty. You'll receive a full set for as low as $39.99. And for a limited time, with any purchase, you'll receive Mike's soft cover book free when you use promo code GORKA. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener square, and use promo code GORKA. Along with this offer, you'll also get deep, deep discounts on all his MyPillow products, including the MyPillow mattress topper, MyPillow towel sets, and so much more. Call 800-829-8468, promo code GORKA. Just go to MyPillow.com, promo code GORKA.
Man, I am digging the hard rock. This is Jim Hansen sitting in for Dr. G doing America First Radio. And I want to tell you about the trip Seb is taking to Israel. And I want to invite you to join him for a powerful travel opportunity that will likely become the highlight of your year. He's headed to Israel in November for a 10-day Stand with Israel tour. The key sites and best places meant to give you an unprecedented view of a world you've only likely read or heard about. Together, you'll uncover key geopolitical insights as you unpack Israel's significance on the world stage. You'll return home empowered by the experience. If you've ever dreamed of visiting Israel, this is your opportunity. So join Seb and go in 2022. For more information, call 855-565-5519 or book online at standwithisraeltour.com. Hey, I want to kick around one of my wife's favorite places, and unfortunately one we can no longer enjoy, which is Disney. She grew up in Bakersfield, California, used to go to Disneyland all the time as a kid, back in the days of e-tickets and books of tickets and all that. And guess what? We now have to go ahead and get off the train with Disney. I mean, you can't ride the monorail when they got a bunch of kids on there they're trying to convince are some sex they haven't even invented yet. I know this is kind of passé, but Groomer is not a bizarre word. It is unfortunately an all too accurate description of what's going on with Disney and unfortunately in our schools, where they're talking to kids who have no business hearing about sex and sexuality and who's zooming who. They really should be talking about and trying to figure out, you know, what they want for lunch, a PBJ or a bologna and cheese, not whether they're a non-binary fairy or wood elf. I think this is something that it's easy to just mock and miss the actual significance that we've got generations of kids right now who've had their heads filled with such nonsense that they don't even know. They don't have a clue what it is that they believe or should be. And that's a problem that I think we've had, you know, far too much problem. So, Disney, you got to get your ducks in a line. Listen, as we begin a new week, helping rush food, medical supplies, and other essentials to the thousands of children and families displaced by the Russian invasion of Ukraine, we need you to write down an important new phone number that will make it easier for you to join the campaign and help the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews. It's 800-970-5010, 800-970-5010. You can do something special to help the victims of the war in Ukraine. Just go to SebGorka.com and click on the Crisis in Ukraine banner. Your generous gift of $45 or any amount will help fund life-saving round trips. And with Passover coming, the fellowship has approved an emergency Passover grant just for Ukraine. As I mentioned, now you have the option to phone in your $45 gift. Just call 800-970-5010.
America First with our very special guest, Uncle Jimbo. It's Jim Hansen.
Hey, happy to be sitting in for Dr. G doing America First Radio. We got war pigs. We got a lot of armchair generals gathered in their masses deciding that we need to somehow have us a giant land war in Europe. There is one going on, and it's pretty horrifying. However, it does not need to be bigger and badder and uglier than it is. And I think it's time to shut it down. Can we throw up the graphic? I want to see. There is a map. If you are on Rumble, there is a map I just put up of the Ukraine battle space. It's got Russia. It's got Ukraine. And this is from a company called Equitas. They do this type of network mapping, link analysis software, amazing stuff. What they do is they gather all the open source info and put it on a map and get it into an interactive face. You can click in and see what's going on, where the reports are, what's happening where. I can describe it for those of you who are radio listeners. There is a crescent on the eastern edge of Ukraine from Donbass, which is the Russian-speaking provinces right there on the border with Russia, down to Crimea. And it just is a nice, looks like a comma. And it is red because it is Russian controlled, more or less. Now, I got to give all credit to Zelensky and the Ukrainians for the fight they put up and the whooping that they put on the Russian military. Thank you. You're brave. You're amazing. It's stunning what they did. No one really expected. I cannot think of a major person who is in the national security foreign policy business, myself included, who didn't think the Russians were going to just roll right into Kiev and topple that government and put up a puppet. All right. It was expected. So God bless the Ukrainians for showing us that the Russian military is not all it's cracked up to be. Well, now that we've established that there is a big thing going on, I want to talk to Niall Gardner, who is he works at the Heritage Center and is one of the smartest people on this. Niall, welcome to the show. Let's have a chat about Ukraine. Well, why don't we?
It's great to be here. Thanks. Thanks very much, Jim. Thank you for having me on the show.
Well, I just kind of I showed a situation map, you know, kind of the common operating picture of Ukraine, and there is a very nice clear of Russian influence area in the center, and then on the right side, right there in the Donbass and the land bridge down to Crimea, it's pretty red. And I think right now the big decision is, should the Ukrainians, with the support of the rest of the free world, go into there and try to push the Russians back across the border. Now, my impression from our discussions is you think that can be done. Is that actually something that can be pulled off without an amazing loss of life?
Well, that's a great question, Jim, a key question, really. I do think that, you know, the Russians have suffered what can only be described as a major humiliation in Ukraine. I mean, this whole military campaign has gone extremely badly for the Russians. It's demonstrated, I think, incredible, you know, hubris on the part of, you know, Vladimir Putin. And the reality is that the Ukrainians, thanks to their tremendous, you know, courage, bravery, plus also this, you know, the support of, you know, the US, UK and other key allies, the Ukrainians have pushed the Russians back away from a key from many key parts of the country. The Russians are in retreat, in essence, and now consolidating their positions in the east of the country, especially in the Donbass region. And so, you know, the idea that, you know, the Russians could be pushed out of Ukraine altogether now, certainly, I think, is on the, you know, on the horizon. And certainly, I think that Ukrainian military planners are contemplating, you know, the possibility of an overall emphatic defeat for the Russians. Now, of course, the stakes are incredibly high for Vladimir Putin. And I do think that, you know, Putin is going to try and do all he possibly can to hold on to territory that the Russians, you know, gained through invasion several years ago. And, you know, we are, I think, expected to see what can only be described as, you know, an extraordinary series of battles to come in the coming weeks and months. But the Russians are now on the back foot. They're no longer really on the offensive here. And the Russians, I think, are in an incredibly precarious situation.
But wait a minute. Aren't they also back next to their own territory? You know, they were overextended. They made one of the mistakes they made was attacking on four axes. You know, that was obviously turned out to be a major mistake. Now they're back to that crescent, which borders Russia. So they no longer have exposed supply lines to get towards, you know, on the roads to Kiev. They're no longer going through territory where the populace is definitely pro-Ukrainian. They're defending a lot of territory now in areas where they have a Russian-speaking populace that they've more or less controlled for years. You know, they've had tacit control of those regions in some way for a long time. So isn't it much more a daunting task for the Ukrainians to go and push them out of there than it was to push them out of their very extended forward, you know, attack positions as they tried to take Kiev?
Yeah, and I think that's absolutely, I mean, right. I mean, this is a daunting task, of course, for the Ukrainians. They are, you know, hugely buoyed by their series of military, you know, victories over the Russians. I think, you know, the goal for you know, for President Zelensky, for his administration in Kyiv, is to basically get the Russians out of all parts of Ukraine that, you know, Putin has, you know, sent his forces into over the course of the last few weeks. That's the immediate goal. That's the priority. If gains can be made further beyond that to get the Russians out of territory the Russians invaded back in 2014, I do think the Ukrainians will push for that as well. But that's not the immediate goal here. The immediate goal is to turf the Russians out of, you know, of territory that they have, you know, invaded, occupied in the last few weeks. Now, it remains to be seen, I think, whether or not the Russians can be pushed out further afield. But, you know, with a huge amount of, you know, missiles, weaponry flowing into the country from the West, I do think the Ukrainians are in a much, much stronger position now. And if you look at the, you know, the fighting strength of the Ukrainian military today compared to what it was in 2014, I mean, it's vastly different, actually. And also, they have been strengthened by, you know, many, many years of military experience in the Donbass. They've got a large number of soldiers who have fought in that region. And, you know, so I do think that Putin is on the back foot now. But it would be a Herculean exercise, of course, to throw the Russians out of Crimea, to throw the Russians out of Donbass as well. Can it be done? I think there is a possibility. But, you know, it would be a huge exercise to do so. But I'd never underestimate the fighting warrior spirit of the Ukrainian people. I mean, they fought like lions.
No question.
And they will fight to the death to protect their territory and to take back territory that the Russians took from them.
But to do that, they need an awful lot more. You know, I think they managed to fight a lot of guerrilla style tactics, a lot of the, you know, the anti-tank ambush stuff that they did, and they had in many cases, you know, the Russians in places where it was easy to do that type of stuff. The eastern portion of the country is much more wide open. You know, it's not a place where they have partisans who can hide in buildings and things like that and pop up, snap off a javelin, you know, and blow up a tank column, or, you know, snap off a bunch of them. So we'd have to give them a ton more javelins, a ton more of the rest of this stuff, and then they're actually on a counter offensive as opposed to defending their turf. And I think that's a much bigger challenge.
Yes, no, you're absolutely right. I mean, it's an immensely bigger challenge for the Ukrainians. And also it involves a lot more, you know, I would say, you know, large-scale conventional warfare involving, you know, significant numbers of tanks, for example, actually, against the Russians here. So, you know, if the Ukraine is going to win, they have to be supplied with a large number of, you know, of additional tanks from Western countries. You know, the Slovakians, for example, have, you know, stepped forward supplying a significant number of tanks. I think the Poles, many other countries are going to do so as well. And as you point out, the Ukrainians need a lot more of the kind of missile weaponry as well in order to win this. So, you know, it is of course, an incredible challenge for the Ukrainians. We'll have to see what happens. But, you know, this whole war has gone unexpectedly in so many different directions. And so, you know, if the Russians are feeling, you know, confident, if there's a sense of sort of, you know, hubris here with regard to even, you know, now defending territory that they took several years ago, I think, you know, Putin could be in for a bit of a shock, actually.
Well, I tell you what, we've talked a little bit now about the difficulty of doing it. And I want to, after the break, dig into, is it a good idea? Because I think regardless of whether it can be done, which I think remains to be seen, and whether it's a good idea for the West to up the ante with the Poles and everyone else giving tanks and heavy weaponry now to Ukraine, but politically, geostrategically, and crazy, tyrannical, Russian leaderly, is it a good idea to back a guy like Putin with 6,300 nukes into a corner? So we're talking with Niall Gardner from Heritage, and we're gonna discuss that a little bit after the break. This is Jim Hansen. We're doing America First Radio. I'm sitting in for Dr. G. We'll be back in a second.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-702-5400. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-702-5400. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-702-5400.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
I'm only happy when it rains.
Portions of America First are brought to you in part by the International Fellowship for Christians and Jews.
Hey, it's Jim Hansen back doing America First Radio. We still have with us Niall Gardner from Heritage, and we are talking about, first we talked about the difficulties the Ukrainians face trying to push the Russians out of their country, which Putin invaded. Now I want to talk, Niall, about, is it a good idea to push Putin out? Because it's going to be a major challenge. It's going to be a meat grinder, bloodbath mess. Major war, major escalation, Poland giving tanks and all that. But the problem is, if you succeed, now you have embarrassed and shamed and given a loss to a guy, Vlad Putin, who's not a big fan of losing, who is not a very well-balanced individual and who happens to still be the proud owner of a large array of chemical weapons and 6,300 nukes. Now, I'm not a Putin fan. He's a tyrant. He's a bad guy. But is it a good idea to give that bad guy a bruising loss and have to deal with the consequences and the potential danger that could happen?
Yeah, great questions, Jim. And as you point out, of course, I mean, Putin is a complete psycho and a thug and a menace to society, frankly. And that's what he is. And we're seeing that every day in Ukraine with the atrocities that his barbaric military are carrying out on the ground in Ukraine. And if if Putin is pushed into a corner, how will he respond? And these are very important points. I mean, certainly there's a possibility that Putin may use chemical weapons in Ukraine. The Russians have used chemical weapons before Syria. They used them on British soil. They used them. They used Novichok actually in the city of Salisbury in the UK several years ago against a former Russian agent, and that killed a couple of British citizens. So and Putin's capable of using these kinds of weapons. We can't underestimate what he's capable of. But at the same time, I'm of the view that with bullies like Putin, you've got to stand up to them. You have to really demonstrate strength and resolve, because if he gets away with what he's doing in Ukraine, I'm in no doubt that he's going to set his sights further afield. And I've met with many senior politicians recently from Eastern Europe, Baltic states, countries like Poland, for example, the front lines with Russia. And, their concern is that if Putin is in any way emboldened from Ukraine, if he gets away with what he's doing, he's definitely going to make a move.
But is there a difference between
NATO territory?
There a difference between emboldened by getting to stay in Donbas, which Russian speaking, quasi controlled by the Russians for a while, Crimea, which they've had since 2014, and the idea that he got his butt kicked? And if he stays there, I don't see how you can parlay that if he's, then saying, okay, let me commit, have a meeting here and we're going to invade the Baltic states or we're going to roll tanks somewhere else. People are going to look at him and say, I didn't go so well the last time, big fella. Maybe we should not consider invading any place else since we barely survived this. And do we have any reason to believe that, A, he survives that domestically? We don't know he's going to survive this domestically, whichever way it goes. And now they're talking about potential, war crime trials and things like that. And the U.S. government is considering, hey, maybe we legitimize, some of the international courts to do that with, potentially putting ourselves at risk later. Is all of that worth it when Putin really doesn't get a win out of this, but doesn't get the biggest loss?
Yeah, I think, ultimately, what happens to Putin in Russia, will be, decided by the Russian people, I expect, actually. And, we're not going to be, despite, Joe Biden's, boasts and so on, we're not going to be able to actively oust Putin from power inside Russia. And that is something that the Russians themselves will ultimately have to, decide upon Putin's future fate. And then, of course, Joe Biden talks tough, but actually, if you look at what he does in practice, Biden's actually very weak on the Russian
front. He eats pudding and takes naps is what Biden does.
Yeah, I mean, Biden's sleeping from behind.
Right.
And so, Biden's actually the weakest for the international leader on the Russian front. And he's actually, his administration is actually actively sitting down with the Russians, negotiating table on the Iran nuclear deal. And so that tells you all we need to know about the hypocrisy of Joe Biden here. I think that, our goal with regard to Russia is that we've got to, I think, degrade their capability to be able to wage war. And, the sanctions that are in place will hit the Russians hard ultimately.
But haven't they degraded themselves? Haven't the Ukrainians done that? They're in a position now. How long is it going to take them to even rebuild any expeditionary military capability. They may be able to defend in Donbas.
Exactly. And, you know, I think the Ukrainians have done a lot more than Joe Biden has done.
By far.
Degrade Vladimir Putin's regime. And good for the Ukrainians. Like they've shown incredible, courage here. But certainly I think, our longer-term goal is to weaken Russia's capability to be able to wage this kind of conflict. We have to send the message that any kind of move on the Baltic states will be met by, maximum force by NATO. Frankly, also, biggest deterrent actually to Vladimir Putin is having a president in place in the White House who's actually going to stand up to the Russians as opposed to appeasing them. Because that, that's what Joe Biden has done for a long time.
So President Harris, you're saying, right? Joe steps down.
The only person more disastrous than Joe Biden on the world stage is Kamala Harris. Kamala Harris has been an absolute embarrassment, I think, in terms of U.S. leadership. Joe Biden's been a monumental disaster as well. So the United States needs leaders who are going to project strength and resolve. It's not Joe Biden or Kamala Harris, that's for sure.
Well, from your old compatriots, Boris Johnson looked pretty good on his trip there to see Zelensky. He actually, that video they did was, again, I think the propaganda war was tremendous from their side. So that was another victory there.
Yeah, Boris Johnson, he really is. I mean, he's a very strong leader, when it comes to a time of crisis. Or there's some big campaign. So, for example, the Brexit campaign is brilliant. He's been very good on Ukraine. He's been miles better than Joe Biden. Actually, Biden's been, absolutely, I think, useless. But
low bar.
Boris Johnson, heading to Ukraine. He took the train from Poland, James Bond star mission. I mean, he deserves a lot of credit for doing that. I mean, three tours of Boris Johnson.
Yeah, Bond had a lot better suits and things like that.
Greatly
appreciate you coming on because this is a complicated, dangerous thing, and I think it's good that we on the right are willing to have differing opinions, discuss them, and not march in lockstep because I know I'm never the only person with a good idea. So greatly appreciated, Niall Gardner from the Heritage Foundation. Listeners, we want to go ahead and open up the phone lines for the next segment. 833-334-6752, 833-33-GORKA. Call, let's talk. I want to hear what you guys think, and we'll together discuss what's a good idea, what's a bad idea, and what's the worst idea, which is Joe Biden being president. Hey, it's Jim Hansen. We are doing America First Radio, sitting in for Dr. G, who'll be back tomorrow. Listen to the commercials, and we'll talk to the viewers after the break. Rocking back again, it's Jim Hansen sitting in for Dr. G, and we are joined now, as you knew it had to be, with my brother from another mother, Kurt Schlichter, author of the Kelly Turnbull series, and a new book coming out when?
July 12th, 3 months from tomorrow. You must pre-order, we'll be back, The Fall and Rise of America. If you don't, no one will ever love you, and you'll have to write the bulwark.
I already bought mine, according to everything that you know now. But yeah, hold on.
Give
me a second.
You insisted on it. You were one of the people. You read some over and said, no.
Dude, I read. No, you sent me the preview copy, and I read it, and or not the preview copy, but before it was even the preview, and it was good, dude. Not that I didn't expect it to be good, but people, okay. it is exactly what you would expect him to write on that topic, and the picture on the front is exactly what he sounds like when he's telling you about it. All right, so I want to talk about weak, weaselly, little rhino loser Republicans like Liz Cheney, Kinzinger. Let's start with him. So we got a clip of Kinzinger, who is the turncoat, who's no longer going to be in Congress, but he's playing with the January 6th game and invented insurrection. And here's what he had to say about what he wants to teach his own kids.
Our real audience is history. Because in 5 or 10 years, when my kid is in school and he's learning about January 6th, I want him to know the truth. I don't want there to be any shred of doubt that the FBI and Ray Epps somehow organized January 6th in an insurrection, or it was the deep state, or it was anything but what it was, which was a Trump-inspired insurrection.
No, it wasn't.
What's his forehead?
That he is the dumbest-looking dude.
Oh, my gosh, he's like a mutant.
Yeah, that was a great shot of him. If for those of you on the radio, I'm sorry, but just Google Adam Kinziger and look at a picture of him, like you'll understand.
It's like there's this little – he's like one of those memes with the little tiny face and the giant head.
Is that what it was? Guy, and his ears. They were like from his shoulders, you know, to above his head.
Some people will tell us, you know, Jim, Kurt, you shouldn't make fun of someone's appearance. I think you should.
I think we can. Well, here's the bigger problem I have with him is he has joined Liz Cheney, and they are now the turncoats who are trying. Oh God, you don't do that, man. Don't do that. We can't have that image when we're trying to hammer them for their views. So here's the view we're going to take. It's Liz Cheney and Adam Kinziger as turncoats who are backstabbing the rest of the Republican Party. And why don't they just, I mean, is either one of them going to be there next Congress?
No. Here's how dumb Adam Kinziger is. This is a guy who sucked up to the Dems. Then they totally gerrymandered him into oblivion. And he continues sucking up to them. It's like, dude, there's this thing called dignity. Get some.
Or not. I'm fine with not. And here's the other thing. Now, Liz Cheney, I just saw a thing where she has raised a ton of money because all the wrong people, like the ones who tricked Adam Kinziger into being their turncoat and then took away his district, they somehow think if they plow enough money, the good people of Wyoming are going to figure out that somehow Liz Cheney is a good guy. She's toast. And every dime they spend there trying to support her can't be used elsewhere.
That is true. Flush it down the Liz Cheney commode. I've met Harriet Hagemeyer, I believe is her name, and she's squared away. She's good to go. She'll make a great congresswoman for the great state of Wyoming. Look, I don't think the people in Wyoming – look, I'm in California, so I know what saps look like. All right? I know what dumb people look like. Wyoming people are common sense folks. They're patriotic. And they know that the Beltway cowgirl is getting a bunch of out-of-state money to try and pull the old okey-doke over the cowpokes. And I don't think it's going to play.
So she's going to be – those two seats then will become part of the new Republican majority. And if I caught you right during the break, you have a prediction for more or less what the next Congress is going to look like. So let's get it constituted. What do you think it's going to be?
Well, I'm writing about this my Town Hall VIP column on Wednesday. I opine that the Republicans are likely to get 40 seats in November, 50 if they're smart, so it's 40.
And, okay, but that's a nice working majority at that point, right? We'll have Speaker who? I mean, we got to actually try.
It's going to be McCarthy. It just is.
I know. Okay. Okay, then let's say, because here's the thing. I think we're chipping away. We're adding more America First candidates every round, every iteration.
It's a process.
Yeah. So he's still got enough, and he raises enough money, you know, that he's got the power and we have him there. But we can scare him this time, right? There should be at least a challenge for the speakership and put a little fear of God into him before he gets the gavel, right?
Look, I think that McCarthy – look, here's the problem with being in a country of two parties, which we – as a practical matter, we have to be because we're not a parliamentary democracy. We're always going to have 50% plus one. Now, of the 50% on the right, about 95% of those are still to the left of you and me and Dr. Gorka. I mean, we just haven't. So I'm a lot more less aggravated than a lot of our fellow conservatives about McConnell and McCarthy, who are not as conservative as I am. But, you know, my thought is, who's the guy who can wrangle a caucus that ranges from, you know, Mike Lee and Josh Hawley all the way over Susan Collins and can do it consistently? And when you tell me that guy, who is much more conservative, I'm going to be very happy because I'd like to know who it is.
So, I mean, so is there no chance to change that?
No,
as long as we got to keep those clowns, you know, those loser rhino spineless weasels.
For the time being, those guys are going to be the nominal leaders, and they are moving to the right. Look, they are not immune to this stuff. If you go back 10 years. Mm-hmm. What do we have? We had all the I don't even remember half their names.
Right.
That guy from Tennessee, the other guy from Utah.
The wine drinking Boehner.
Yeah. oh, God. Flake. Remember him?
Oh, geez. Okay. So we're moving the window, though. We're moving the window to the right as far as where the center of the Republican Party is. Okay.
To the right. Which looks like left on screen, but you get my point.
We can't do that stage left, stage right thing. No, and this is a radio show. So, all right. Well, then I think the thing to do is go ahead and make it hurt for McCarthy if he's going to just sell us out. You know, there has to be some damage to him. Otherwise, he'll just cave because that's his nature.
I think he understands he's got to be hardcore to satisfy us. And frankly, these guys do develop. I would prefer guys who are reflexively hardcore conservative.
And
we have a lot of them. Other guys, I'll rule by fear. I'm not particularly picky. You know, I like Emperor Tiberius. You don't have to love me. Just better not screw with me.
Okay, well, that's fine. Because
we get the same point.
We're not going to get the guy we want with the gavel this time, but we can scare the guy with the gavel into doing what we want, and that should be the goal. And that I think will solve a lot of problems for the audience right now. Who's going to be mad? I'm going to be mad. You're going to be mad when McCarthy slams that gavel down for the first time. We're going to go shucks. You know, this could be our guy. But at least he's slamming the gavel down.
Let me do something that no one ever thought I'd do. Let me defend McCarthy. There's got to be a guy who can reach out to the soft cones. The guy who owns the Buick dealership, you know, the guy who's got the trucking company, you know, some of the ladies who aren't quite as liberal as the rest of their friends. Look, we've got to build a coalition. We have to build a coalition, and we have to talk to all of them. And look, McCarthy can walk up to you and say, I have objective proof that I am good at my job of raising money and getting people in, because look at this bank statement.
And look at the numbers. I mean, if we have an actual majority, then he's done his job.
And we're going to have a majority. We ask him to win a majority. He's going to win a majority. Look, I'm not here to defend anybody. What I'm here to do is be objective about the battle space and the situation we're facing. You have to assess people. There are things that annoy me about Mitch McConnell, drives me crazy. There are other things about Mitch McConnell. How many guys do you think would have the stones to keep Merrick Garland off the Supreme Court?
Right.
Not many.
No, that's true. All right. Well, we'll go ahead then, and everybody, we will suck it up, and we will eat that turd sandwich of Speaker McCarthy, because Speaker McCarthy means we have a Republican majority, and that's something. We're going to be back after the break and tear up a few more things. This is Jim Hansen. We have Kurt Schlichter and Sebastian Gorka. We'll be back here tomorrow with more America First Radio after the break.
Are brought to you in part by the International Fellowship for Christians and Jews.
Hey, this is Jim Hansen sitting in for Dr. G on America First Radio. But on behalf of him, I want to invite you to join him for a powerful travel opportunity that will likely become the highlight of your year. He's headed to Israel in November 2022 for a 10-day Stand with Israel tour of the key sites and best places, meant to give you an unprecedented view of a world you're likely only read or heard about. Together, you'll uncover key geopolitical insights as you unpack Israel's significance on the world stage. You will return home empowered by the experience. If you've ever dreamed of visiting Israel, this is your opportunity. Join Seb in 2022. For more information, call 855-565-5519 or book online at standwithisraeltour.com. Now, I want to get back to talking with my good friend Kurt Schlichter, because we are both huge advocates of free speech. We are both bomb-throwing provocateurs on the Twitter Bird platform, and we are both huge fans of Elon Musk throwing a monkey wrench into old Parag, the new CEO's, the new Jack at Twitter's plans to be the thought police. So he turned down the board seat and the golden handcuffs that stopped him from taking over. Do you think he's gonna make the play and buy the company?
I absolutely do, mostly because it will amuse him to do so. But it's much more important than that, because this guy has literally more money than Crassus. Okay? And I think he's unlikely to have gold poured down his throat by Parthians after being defeated at Karai. But that's another story.
Nice deep reference there.
I know. I like the deep cuts in Mil Hiss.
Right.
So, no. This is great. We've been looking. Look, we need benefactors, guys with a lot of money and who know how to get things done, who are going to level the playing field. Because, frankly, the leftist activists had been doing that. You know, everybody from George Soros to, I don't know, what Bezos or Bezos' ex-wife and the who's the other one? Jobs' ex-wife.
Yeah.
Well, you know, lots of ex-wives. They just spend money, and we're not prepared to deal with it.
Well, and
here's a guy who has a chance of taking a company that's hugely important, mm-hmm. and it captured by the left and was, you know, in the throes of speech control and thought control, and freeing it. And I love it.
So we need to help is my thing. Now, I want to plant the seed of an idea here that, assuming if he packs his bags and goes, we can all be sad and go back to being shadow banned and annoyed with the bird site. But if he makes the play, then I'm calling on everybody who, no matter what your feelings are, this is a free speech play. And I
yes.
think we need all of our team to band together and back Elon, because we need a digital town square, and Twitter's the best we've got.
Well, I'm absolutely sure we'll see a number of soft cons explaining the conservative case for gagging conservative speech.
Ball gag. That'll be the David French crowd.
Well, by the way, read my column on David French and the word groomers today. Epic town hall. Go see it.
Go.
Look, we need our politicians to have his back, too, because they're going to go hunting for Elon Musk. He is in the crosshairs. They're going to target him. And we need to have his back. We need to have the back of everybody who's out there fighting for free speech. Once we get Congress, and then, you know, once we retake the presidency in 2024, as I think we are likely to do.
You know, I think one of the best things I felt about this was he put them on defense. You know, this was one of the first times I can recall where our team made a play and all of a sudden, you know, the left's scrambling. They're like, oh, my God, what do we do? Wait a minute. He's got the clout to get a board seat. He can take things. He can make things happen that they don't want. And they're scared. And I think that's, like you said, we need Congress to do things, not just to support him and make sure they can't hurt him, but to also hurt the other social media titans, too, the tech tyrants, to go ahead and use all of the forces we have against them, just like they do to us.
Yeah, exactly. It's we need to fight across the battle space in every sphere, in every encounter. We
need are you to going back to combined arms school here?
Yeah, we're back to betting, baby. I mean, for too long, we've been told by the old school cons, you know, you can use your power in this very limited way, and the other guys are not restricted from it, which is why they run circles around us. Here's my view. There is no conservative principle that requires I become less free. If it requires I become less free, it's not a conservative principle. And even if it were, I wouldn't adopt it. Okay? We are not obliged to lose. Our principles do not require our serfdom in the name of greater freedom that, of course, will never come because we're serfs. And I love the idea that we're busting out of that paradigm.
And we should use all the available tools. So that's where you say, okay, well, we're conservatives. We should not. We should be against government power. No, we should be against unbridled government power. But when the only tools we have left, because we refuse to fight with every tool we had, are government power and rich, crazy guys who like to buy companies, then we have to use all those. And the rest of us have to go ahead and say, that may not be how I want it. But like Rumsfeld said, we got to fight the war we have, not the war we want, with the army we have, not the army we want. Second time I've used that. Exactly. But that's it. So let's do it. Whatever we've got, fight to win our freedom back. Then we can go ahead and talk about what we want to do with it, not let the left tell us what we're allowed to do with it.
Well, exactly. Before you counterattack, you got to stop the enemy offensive.
Well, let's do that. But he did. He did. He didn't just fire a shot across their bow. He boarded their frickin' ship.
He had a little cutlass in his mouth.
Right? And that's beautiful.
Red flag.
Well, good. And now, I mean, figuratively, it's time to start slitting some throats and make them pay. And now he knows. They know that if he pulls out right now, their stock's going in the dumper. And that's if he jumps ship, they're toast, and he can afford it better than they can because they're not profitable. So we got the cards. Time to play them.
I couldn't agree with you more. I think this is great news. I'd like to see other. I don't know if I'd call Elon Musk a conservative, but he seems to like free speech. Mm-hmm. And frankly, I've gotten a lot less picky about allies over the last couple of years. If you don't hate me and want to kill me, like Tulsi Gabbard, I can disagree with you on a lot. But you don't want to kill me or throw me into a gulag. I can work with you.
I am 100% with you. So let's do this. Let's be smart people on the right. Let's have a big tent. Let's get all of our people firing shots in the correct directions, which is at the people who do want to kill us. Kurt Schlichter, Kelly Turnbull series, and his new book coming out in July. We will have an epic party for that here in D.C., the book is titled We'll Be Back. Pre-order it now. Order multiple copies. Send them to all of your friends. Thanks for coming on the show, Kurt.
Thanks for having me.
Right on. This is Jim Hansen. I have 30 minutes left to finish rocking today's show. Dr. G will be back tomorrow. And the America First banner is going to fly above all of our efforts to take down the woke left. We will be back after the break.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never before seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to salemnow.com. Salemnow.com.